We've been collecting additional pledges to see what we're able to do for the sanctuary renovation. Those are also due by November 3rd, and so please, if you haven't filled that out yet, please do that by November 3rd. And then as well, in the back today, there is a sign-up sheet for Jim's snacks, and so if you are able to help with a snack for Jim's, please help us out by filling that out back there, too. There's other announcements in your bulletin, too. I would just encourage you to check that out this morning. This morning, I want to do something a little bit different. This kind of came out of adult ed last week. And so y'all might be like, but this is going to, we're going to start doing this a little more regularly. And so often on Thanksgiving, which is coming up, we have like an open mic, right? We talk about how we're thankful to God for what he's done. And we do that once a year. And then the rest of the time in our kingdom prayer, we talk about what's bad and needs prayer. And so I want to try to turn the corner on that a little bit and also have more regular intervals to share what God is doing in terms of praise. And so I have a mic. We have this nice wireless mic now. Like, I can just walk to you and bring this. But I'm just wondering if anyone this morning, there's no pressure. If you don't have something this week, you have to have something next week. There is the pressure. But there's no pressure today. If you have something you want to share about how God has been at work or you've seen God at work, I'd love to just hand the mic to you so we can praise God together as a body today.
Praising God for Emmett and his role in our life, and we celebrated his 5th birthday this week. I'm so glad he's here today.
Awesome. Happy birthday, Emmett.
I want to thank God for my life, especially after a few accidents that I've had, and even though some bad things have happened recently, it's still been going good.
Thanks, Luke.
I want to thank God for the cancers he brought me through, and now I'm going through more problems, and I know he's there with me. Thank you.
Wednesday nights I go into the jail, and I rely on other volunteers to go in with me. We hold a prayer service with the women praying for our kids, and our volunteer numbers have kind of fluctuated, and this past Wednesday, the one lady who was supposed to go in with me had to bail at the last minute, so I had this dilemma. Am I going to go in alone, which is not the way I like to do it, or am I going to just see what God has in store? So Don and I talked about it, and I decided to go in, and God provided for me. There were only 3 women that joined me that night, so it was a close time of confidence together, and I just relied on the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and it really turned out great, so I'm praising God for that answer to prayer.
Thanks. Anyone else?
So this is kind of a praise, but it's also a little bit of an announcement. I hope that's okay. There's been a group of guys that has been meeting for the last 5 years, I think. And maybe it's only 4 or 5 years. It feels like forever. But it has been an awesome time of growth, and it's been really cool to connect with guys in a different way through just going through Scripture slowly and having really good conversation about it. That being said, if you're a guy that's looking for a group to study the Word with, we meet every Wednesday morning at 6:30 in the morning, and we go for about an hour, and it's really worth the time. It's worth the time, I think. We're starting up the Gospel of John this Wednesday, and I'm pretty excited about it. I think it's going to be an awesome time. So I would love to just invite you.
Thanks, Aaron.
Whoa. So I've been struggling a lot with depression lately. And something that God has used, or God has been speaking to me, is that He sees me. He sees me, and he loves me right where I am. And I just praise God that he knows where we're at all the time, and he loves us despite of our struggles.
Thanks, Bill.
Oh, boy, I can second that. But I also have a huge praise. I go to Bible study with my girls on Tuesday morning. And they are prayer warriors for me. And I make it through my work day because of them lifting me up in prayer. And also, that's the reason I have two out of three sons here today. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Brittany.
I just want to praise the Lord for allowing me to give birth to such a beautiful baby girl, 1 month early, 4 pounds. Stayed in the NICU for about 3 weeks. Struggled with weight, still struggling with weight. Mm-hmm. But I know that through Christ, everything is possible. So I just wanted to praise the Lord for my beautiful baby.
Mm-hmm. Thanks.
I've been getting into a church recently, actually, for myself, and I just want to thank God for proving to me that he loves me and he wants me to be the best version of myself.
Thanks, Luke. All right. Awesome. Thank you for sharing. This is going to happen more often, so get ready. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the way that you work among your people. And Lord God, even as we hear stories this morning of the ways that you're working and the ways that you're speaking to your people, the ways that you're affirming us and confirming us in Christ, Lord, we just thank you for your love and your mercy and the way that you move. Lord God, it's easy to look around the world and just think that everything is gloomy and bad and broken, and it feels that way even sometimes. But Lord, it is very clear that you are alive and you are well and you are working again to redeem your people. And so, Father God, we thank you for that. Father, we pray that you would just help us, Lord God, to continue to look for the ways that you are working in the hearts and the minds of your people to bring them, to bring us all to deeper faith. And Father, we pray that you would continue to work across this world to bring people to yourself. Lord God, we pray that you would work through the missionaries we support across the world and the ones we don't. And Lord God, we pray that you would work in this city and this state and the country. Lord, we just pray that you would work everywhere for the sake of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. Lord God, in the midst of the tired, in the midst of the broken, in the midst of the hurt, Lord, you are there. And Father, we just pray that we would be able to have eyes to see that you are with us, that you do not leave us, Lord God, that you are our fortress and our refuge and our strength, our ever-present help in trouble. And so, Lord God, I pray that you would help us to see that. Help us to rejoice in the way you work. And Lord God, we just give you praise too this morning that you have continued to work in Connie Wieringa's granddaughter, Bretta, who had this cancer surgery in her brain. And Lord God, as they were not able to do everything that they wanted to do, God, we're still thankful this morning that what they were able to do was diagnose that the cancer is not as bad as they thought, and they're able to do some sort of treatment. And Father, we pray that you would just provide for that family as they receive this treatment. Father, I pray that you would strengthen them, and I pray that you would encourage them, and I pray that you would protect her and her health and give her strength. Father, I just pray too that you would help us this morning to just rejoice in the word that we are about to hear together. Lord God, as we open scripture, as we meditate on it, I just pray that you would help us to hear what you're saying to us and to be encouraged by it. And Lord God, I pray that you would help us to trust even deeper in Jesus as we hear the word come to life today. Father God, we do pray as well that you would be with New City Neighbors and just bless and strengthen that ministry. Lord God, I pray that your spirit would move in the midst of it and encourage people and help them, Lord God, and work in that setting and
and everything going on, again, Lord God, to just bring you glory and honor and strength. And Father, we do pray that even as the auction comes up, you would use that night to help raise funds for the programming and the ministry taking place. Father God, we want to see you glorified in all things that are happening. And so, Father, we just pray for that now. We pray for our gyms ministry. We pray for the youth ministry. We thank you and we praise you for the Bible studies that take place in this community where people are being encouraged and growing in different ways. And Lord, we just look forward to hearing more and more ways that you are alive and well in the hearts of your people. Father God, we just pray this all in your name this morning, in the name of Jesus. Amen. I want to encourage you this morning to open your Bibles to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. This morning we're going to enter into this passage together, and for many of you this may be a familiar passage. It's a passage I know I've heard it preached a few times related to worry and the stress of the world and what we're to do in it. And as we get into this passage today, I want to set the context for something real quick. I think it's important to say that as we talk about this passage and as we unpack worry this morning, that what Jesus is not getting at in this passage is instruction or advice or encouragement or anything related to what I would consider clinical anxiety or even depression. And I want to just say that this morning because sometimes when we open these kind of passages together and we explore them in different ways, we can begin to talk about what Jesus has something in mind, but we apply it broader perhaps than we should, and we start to add pressure to people's lives that is not intended in a passage like this. And so as we're talking about worry this morning, I want you to think about worry in terms of the day-to-day grind stuff that consumes your life, all right? Not in terms of something that is ongoing and, again, clinical, but something that has to do with the day-to-day grind stuff. And so that's what Jesus is getting at in the passage today. He's getting at worry in the stuff that people are consumed with every day. And so he talks about bread and clothing in particular in this passage that we're going to look up together. And for the people of the day, when he's talking about clothing, I think it's a little different than what we think about, right? For the people of Jesus' day, as he's talking about clothing, as we'll see in a minute, we're talking about people who didn't have a closet full of different clothing to pick from. It was more along the lines of, do I have something to wear today? Right, which is different than what you and I might worry about when we think about our clothes, and often it's more like, what outfit should I wear today? Will I be dressed appropriately for school or for work or for this event? Will people think weirdly of me if I wear this combination of clothing? You ever felt some of this pressure, right? Some of you have felt this pressure. I think probably we have all felt this pressure. Am I dressed appropriately? Does the tie go with the shirt? Does the shirt go with the pants? Does the shoes go with everything else? Am I just a clashing mess? I worry about that every Sunday morning. Like, am I a clashing mess? And will I just distract you while I'm up here? Right? There's also this talk about food that we're going to see. And again, I think for the people Jesus is addressing in that day, the issue is more like, is there actually food to eat? Versus for many of us, the issue is, as I go into the pantry that's full, will I find what I want to eat, right? Many of you have been there. I mean, I had that just this week. Like, I'm looking through the cupboards, like, I want something, and I can't quite figure out what I want. There's, like, a lot of food staring at me, but I don't know what I want. And so I kind of am like, oh, and then I just kind of slink into a chair and lament because the food that I wanted, which I don't even know, isn't available, right? Like, we can worry about those sort of things. There's a lot we actually worry about from day to day, and so I just want to highlight a few things. This is not an all-encompassing list, and so if you don't find yourself in the midst of any of these, it doesn't mean that you don't worry. It just means that I didn't find an example for you, and I'm sorry. So we worry about the stuff we need to get done in a day, right? Every day there's like a list of tasks and a list of chores, and we start to freak out sometimes as we look at it and think, How am I going to get this all done? We worry we won't get a perfect result on a test or a project that we're either doing for school or for work. And we're worried that if things aren't perfect, people will think poorly of us. And then then all of life will just crumble. We worry about how we smell. A little curveball for you up here this morning. Sometimes we're worried about how we smell, right? That's why we wear deodorant. That's why people wear perfume and cologne, because heaven forbid you go out in public and smell bad, right? And some people, some people need to worry about this, and what I'm talking about is middle schoolers. I'm sorry if you're a middle schooler here this morning, but I've been on a few middle school trips where I'm like, wow, like, all right, we need deodorant, right? But that happens to us. Like, as our bodies change, we start to smell, and we don't realize we smell, and then all of a sudden we care a lot about how we smell, and we worry about that. We worry about not living up to other people's expectations. You ever worry about this? Like, if I don't do the right things, people aren't going to think good of me, and then who am I? And, like, our identity gets wrapped up in that stuff. And we can just be consumed, not even with doing what we're supposed to do, but with doing what we need to do to make somebody else happy. We worry about how much money we have in the bank, and even more, how much we have for retirement, right? And some of this is like, we have to have money to survive, and so I don't want to discount that or dismiss that. Like, I get that we need money to survive, but sometimes when we think about our money, we become so consumed with it that it is all we think about. How much do I have? How much do I need? Will I have enough when I retire? And if I don't, what am I going to do? And that worry just builds, and it can drive us to do crazy things, like work 70, 80 hours a week to make sure the nest egg is there, 70, 80 hours a week to pay for the mortgage and the house that we shouldn't have bought because it was actually too much and outside of our price range. We worry. And our lives get consumed with this stuff. And nowadays, maybe a slightly lighter note, we worry about what our friends will think if we post something dumb on social media or don't respond to a text in 2 minutes. Right? There's all this pressure on social media for people to respond and to respond well and to respond wittily so that you sound like you're really funny and you can make people laugh. And there's all this pressure. And again, I mean, I've had people text me, and if I don't text them back, then they're calling me, and if I don't answer their phone call because I'm trying to actually get something else done, then they, like, start to freak out on me, right? Like, this happens. And so there's all this worry and all this anxiety, and we live in a world, in a culture that is just consumed by worry and fear, which is why our text today is so vital for us, because what we need to understand as we look at our text today and as we hear the words of Jesus, that he's calling us out of this kind of worry and into trust in him. And really what he's calling us out of is an identity that's wrapped up in the culture and in the world, and an identity that is rooted in him and what he is trying to do. And so we're going to learn today what Jesus is talking about related to worry and what it means for us to have courageous faith as well. And so with that being said, let's read the passage together now. Luke 12, starting at verse 22. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. Life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They don't sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. How much more valuable you are, and how much more valuable you are than birds. Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the lilies grow. They don't labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And don't set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Don't worry about it. For the pagan world runs after these things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and all these things will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourself that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. There ends the reading of the Word of God. Now, this passage today actually follows on the heels of a parable that Jesus tells about a rich fool. And the rich fool has he plants a crop and he has an amazing yield, so much of an amazing yield that he decides to tear down all of his current barns and structures to build for himself a larger structure to supply or to store all of his crop. He is trying to tear everything down to build something new, to store the wealth of his crop. This guy has nothing in mind about using the excess to give to the poor or to bless the kingdom. It is all about gaining for himself, to the point where he says, I will take the rest of my life easy, eat and drink and be merry. And God comes to this rich fool and says to him, you're a fool. And on this very day, your life will be demanded of you. And the man is taken away where he is not able to take his stuff or anything else with him. And this is what Jesus says. This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself but is not rich towards God. And the point, one of the points Jesus is making in that parable is simply that it is easy for us as people to be consumed with ourselves, to the point where everything we do in life is about making ourselves more comfortable, with making our lives more easy, with making everything so that we, in some sense, don't even need to trust God. We build up for ourselves storehouses and all these things, and we forget to trust God, and our worry drives us to have all of the stuff that we think we need to make our lives better. And Jesus follows that parable and the teaching there by telling us what it means to not worry. And this is what Jesus says. He says, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. Life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. People have been worried about food and clothing since the fall in Genesis. I was thinking about this week as I was studying this passage. One of the first things Adam and Eve get when they sin is clothing provided by God, because they're naked and they're worried about being naked. They're ashamed. And then their food becomes an issue, is because part of the curse is that the ground becomes harder to work to get the food that they need. And so there becomes a building worry and work around food and how are we going to get it. And that consumes people throughout time. We're always worried about what we're going to have, and are we going to have enough, and will we be able to make it with what we have? And Jesus enters into the picture and says, don't worry about all that stuff. Life is more than food and clothing. Now, the problem for us today, and I don't know what it was like back then, honestly, but the problem for us today is that we have all this marketing that's going on around us all the time. It's on billboards, it's on TV, it's in Hulu ads, it's in our shows, telling us that we don't have enough, right? You see a TV ad for clothing, and it's like, man, if you're not wearing this style, you're really not cool enough, and that means that everyone is going to be like, oh, you're not cool enough, you're not keeping up on the trends, you're not relevant, you're not okay. And so we're like, oh, I got to go to Old Navy and buy that stuff, or go wherever the cool place is in the moment and buy that stuff. The same is true for food, right? Like, we see commercials for food, and we think, oh man, I got to have more food in the house, and I've never tried that item before, and so I better go buy it because it might go away, and I'll never get to try it. And so we go out, we spend all this money on stuff, and we hoard, and we hoard, and we hoard. The culture plays off of our worries, getting us to buy stuff all the time. And again, Jesus' message to us, I just want to emphasize this, is life is more than food and clothing. It's more than the day-to-day things that we're worried about. Life is more than the day-to-day things that we are worried about. And Jesus gives a bunch of illustrations to show that God actually cares about us in these day-to-day things, and he will take care of us. And the first illustration that he gives is ravens. Ravens. Ravens at this time in history were unclean birds. They're unclean. And so for the Israelite hearing this passage, hearing Jesus speak, what they're hearing is that there are ravens, they're unclean, and not only are they unclean, but they are apparently the least respected bird. Y'all, it's bad for you when you're the least respected bird, right? Like, this is like a low place for the raven. They are unclean. They are not respected. And here's the message that Jesus gives to us and to the people of the day. He said, God feeds unclean and disrespected birds. It's ridiculous to think about that. There is an unclean animal that has no purpose and is disrespected, and yet God takes the time to make sure the ravens are fed. They don't plant seeds in the ground. They're not growing things. They're not operating little raven tractors to harvest food for themselves. They're not building little raven houses. God takes care of everything the raven needs. And Jesus goes on to say this, and I put this huge, is that big enough? You are more valuable to God than birds. Whew. Like, I know, maybe this is just my fear of birds coming out, giving you this here this morning, this big. But like, this is important for us to understand. If God will feed these unclean, disrespected birds, God is going to somehow take care of you. Because you're more valuable. Because he loves you more. You're made in his image, and he cares deeply about you. And Jesus goes on after saying this to say, look, can you add even a moment to your day by worrying? And the answer, of course, is no. You can't worry yourself into longer life. In fact, studies have shown that you can worry yourself into a shorter life because it takes a toll on your body. You can't worry yourself into longer life. There is an element of our lives that we're just required to trust that we are more valuable to God than anything else, that he loves us, that he will take care of us. And Jesus gives another illustration, this time about the lilies of the field. And again, Jesus says, look, the lilies, they're in the field. They don't labor. They don't toil. They don't do anything. They just grow. They don't make the sun rise to feed them. They don't make the rain come to feed them. They just sit there and God provides for them. And in providing for them, they grow into these beautiful flowers in the midst of a grassy field. A grassy field that essentially has no worth. God grows the lilies in the grass to clothe the grass with beauty. And the grass, he says, is here today and tomorrow it's thrown into a fire. God takes all this care to make this grass that has a short lifespan beautiful. And again, the message for us is this. If God will clothe the grass with something so beautiful, he will also clothe you. If God will take care of the needs of the grass, God will also take care of you. God loves you deeply. Jesus, at this point in the passage, even gives a little bit of a rebuke and says, look, you all have just a little bit of faith. You're not trusting enough. See, Jesus knows that our tendency is to toil and to worry about all the things in this world. And again, our mind can be consumed by all the things that have to get done in a day. And we worry and we stress and we come home and we're spent and we're exhausted and we still have to deal with family. And by the end of the day, we just want to like crash because we've so worn out. And what this shows us sometimes in the midst of all the worry about the day is that we can fail to trust God in the midst of it. And what the text actually goes on to say, what Jesus says, is that it is the pagans being unbelievers, who are anxious about all the things of the world. It is the pagans who are the ones who are constantly looking for ways to store up things for themselves. They are over-focused with worry because they want to control what is going on. But Jesus says to his disciples, he says, you are not like them. You're not like them. You're my disciples. You have a relationship with me. You have a relationship with the Father. And the Father knows you, and He loves you, and He will take care of you. Now this is hard, right? Because I can feel the worry in the room, right? Well, if I don't worry about these things, will they actually get done? And if they don't get done, it just means I got to do them tomorrow. And if I got to do them tomorrow, that's just more stress for tomorrow. And then your worry starts to build again, and you just race off to do all the things so you don't have to worry about them tomorrow, right? Because that's procrastination, and that's probably not good either. I feel the tension, right? And what Jesus is not saying in the midst of all this, hey, don't worry about things, is He's also not saying to us this morning, He's like, hey, just quit your job and chill. Like, the Amazon food pantry truck will show up every day at 5 with food for you, and I'm just going to send checks in the mail to make sure that your house gets paid for. Like, this is not us being, like, put, like, Jesus is not saying you don't have to do anything in your life, but He's saying you do need to prioritize your life. You need to trust me. You need to understand who I am and that I'm here for you, that I love you. Let me try to summarize this. As disciples, we must not worry about the day-to-day stuff that can bog us down. Because again, God knows our needs and we are valuable to God. And He will take care of His children. And the text actually tells us that instead of worrying, we should seek His kingdom first. Now maybe this just sounds like, okay, that sounds good, I get it, but that's really hard. And it's hard because what this requires of us, in some sense at least, is for us to trust our Father. We have to trust our Father that He, again, knows what is good for us. And the reason it's hard, sometimes hard to trust our Father, is because the only way to trust our Father is to know Father, to have a relationship with Father, to love Him deeply, to know His mind, to know His heart, to know that He will not fail. And if we don't know Father well, it's hard to trust Him. And if it's hard to trust Him, again, it sends us into a spiral about our lives. The reality for us as well is this, is that we organize our lives around ourselves so much that we create most of the worry that bogs us down. Because we think we have to have all the stuff and have everything together all the time, we're always fretting. We're building our identity in ourselves and not in God, and it really destroys us. Our Father loves us deeply, which is why Jesus says in verse 32, little one, he actually says little flock, but a way to say that again is, little one, don't be afraid. There is this loving address saying to us, little ones, don't be afraid. And this is not condescending. This is not derogatory. This is the words of a loving father to his children saying, don't be afraid. I'm here with you. I got this. I love you. I'm going to take care of you every step of the way. Even when you can't see me, even when it feels like I'm absent, I promise I'm here and I love you and I care about you so much. I will not let you go. And the way we get to this point of understanding the love of the Father is really actually in seeking His kingdom instead of the things of this world. And the scripture says that as we seek His kingdom, as we seek the kingdom of the Father actually gives generously to us. And we know that the Father gives generously to us because of Jesus. If you look at the life of Jesus, you know that before Jesus even, actually if you look at Scripture, before Jesus, there was actually some anxiety and worry about people's relationship with God. Had they done enough? Had they made the right sacrifices? Were they following the law perfectly? Were they doing all these things? And so even in their relationship with the Father, there was some anxiety and some worry. But because of Jesus, there is no worry anymore about the relationship with the Father. Because of Jesus' death on the cross and victory over the grave, we have nothing to worry about as it relates to our Father. Because there is nothing more generous that God could have ever done for us than giving us the gift of Jesus on the cross. And listen, if Father is willing to give us Jesus to save us from sin and its curse, then we can trust Him to take care of us in the midst of all of life's chaos. If the Father is willing to give us His Son and put Him on the cross so that we can live, then we can trust our Father to take care of us every step of the way. Our Father loves us deeply, and He is inviting us into a life where we can set down our worries and our burdens each day and trust that He is with us, that He will sustain us, that He will walk with us. And the passage up until this point has been leading us through this understanding of what our worries and how we need to lay them down again to trust Jesus. But Jesus doesn't stop there. He doesn't just say, "Stop worrying and trust me. I got you. You can continue to live in the same patterns. I'm going to take care of you and I'm going to sustain you." Jesus goes a little further, and He asks us to trust Him even on a deeper level. And Jesus, talking to people who are worried about whether they have bread or clothing each day, says this: "Sell your possessions and give to the poor." Jesus, talking to people who are perhaps barely making it, says, "Sell what you have and give it to the poor." See, again, when we're consumed with our worry, and part of what we're doing each day is being self-focused. How is my day going to be okay for me so that when it ends, I can feel pretty good about it and know that I've accomplished everything? Worry tends to be a self-focused activity. It draws us into ourselves. It keeps us distant from the Father. But when Jesus tells us to pursue the kingdom, it means that we seek to grow less self-focused and more focused on the Father and other people. When Jesus talks about giving us the kingdom, He is giving us a heart that is less focused on ourselves and more focused on doing the things of the Father, on loving the Father, and on giving for His kingdom. This is hard to think about, right? To sell our possessions and give to the poor. I want to just stop here and say real quick, I don't believe Jesus is telling each of us here today to go home, list our house, put all our stuff in the front lawn and sell it, and then live as vagabonds and just give all our money away. Like, I don't think that Jesus is calling us to this kind of that kind of an extreme. But I do think Jesus is holding some stuff up for us to help our heart understand: are we living for ourselves and are self-focused? Has our worry consumed us so much that we just continue to have our heart focused on ourselves? Or are we able to let go of the stuff of this world and be focused on Him? Sometimes we say things like, "Man, I just don't have enough money to give away to help those in need," but we have money to get a new iPhone. I know, you're making payments. We're making payments. And again, that kind of activity can speak to our heart's focus. I don't have money to give away, but I have money to buy something new for myself that I probably didn't need. Now, if your phone was broken and smashed under a car, I get it. You need a new phone, right? But often, we're just upgrading. If we see somebody, again, and this even goes to some teachings of Jesus, but if we see somebody freezing on the street corner as they walk home from work, and we are like, "Man, I don't have the resources to help them out," but we go home and we have a new winter coat, or a winter coat, not new, a winter coat for each day of the week, you might have the resources to help the person out who just walked home freezing cold. One more example. Sometimes we talk about not having the resources or the time to even bring a meal to a family in need. But meanwhile, our pantries are full of food that is expiring and rotting, and we have plenty of time to watch TV. And again, what this speaks to is our heart and where our heart is focused. Our heart becomes so self-focused that we think there is nothing wrong with having 5 winter coats and pantries full of expiring food and money for our own fun and pleasure while not even thinking about the people perhaps who are hurting and broken and in need. And this is what worry does to us. It gets us driven into ourselves, into our own self-focus, so that we just can't see the needs of other people. We are blind to the pain in the world. And this is why Jesus says to us, he says, look, where your treasure is, there your heart is. And honestly, it is easy for us to make the stuff that we have our treasure. I don't think anyone's this extreme, right? But it's really like Gollum in The Lord of the Rings when he has the ring and he's just like, my precious. And he says it in a creepy voice that I'm not going to try to mimic. But he's like, my precious. Right? I don't think any of you are like at home holding on to your TV remote saying, my precious. I hope not. That's creepy. But there is a sense in which we take our wallets out and we look at our money and we say, my precious. Right? There's a sense in which we look at our closet that has more clothes than we could possibly wear in 2 weeks. And we say, my precious. Right? There is our problem is our heart is so focused on our stuff and on the things of this world that we lose sight of all of it. We get worried, we get a mess, and we lose sight of the fact that we are called to have our treasure someplace else. And Jesus actually says that our treasure should be in heaven. He says, store up treasure in heaven. Now, hear me out, people. This does not mean that you are somehow FedExing your junk to heaven to have it waiting for you when you die. I know you know this, but I just want to say it so we all know it. Right? When it says store up your treasure in heaven, this does not mean that you are storing up some pile of stuff that is waiting for you somehow, that if you do good deeds, then somehow God is going to reward you with like the best iPhone in heaven. Or if you do good deeds, God is going to have a pile of cash waiting for you in heaven. This is not what he's talking about. Treasure in heaven is not stuff. Your greatest treasure in heaven is Jesus. Your greatest treasure in heaven is Jesus. And when you see that Jesus is actually your greatest treasure, you begin to live for him with a focus on him and a focus on carrying out his mission to the world. The more Jesus is your treasure, the less you are your treasure. The more you come to understand the love of Christ that is being poured out for you, the more you are motivated to live for him and his glory. And see, here's the thing. When we live in the presence of God, when we live for our treasure in heaven, who is Jesus, when we lovingly obey him, we actually experience a joy that is better than any store-bought happiness. When our treasure's in heaven, when our treasure's on Jesus, and we actually seek to live for him, we experience a joy that is way better than anything the world can promise us because we know that we are living in step with our Savior, we're experiencing his love for us, and we are living out of the abundance of the love that he lavishly pours out over us. It would be, in some ways, perhaps, easy to walk out of here today and say, I commit to trusting God more and worrying less about the day-to-day stuff. I'm going to be looking to Jesus, and I'm going to commit that I'm not going to be so focused on these day-to-day activities, and that alone is an amazing step. We need to be so wrapped up in Jesus that we can lay down our worries. But I want to say this, it is, in some sense, next-level Jesus-following trust to go home today, to stare at your excess and get rid of it. It is one thing to say, I trust Jesus and I trust God, and I'm going to put my faith in him. It is another thing to exercise that trust and that faith by selling your excess and giving the money to help people in need, to grow the kingdom, to bless a missionary, to bless a nonprofit, to take care of the things that God cares about. See, it's tempting to go home and look at all the excess and go, you're right, I have a lot of excess. I didn't even see it until today. I'm going to sell it and have the money to go buy more. But this is not what Jesus would ask of us. And I know this sounds crazy, and maybe it sounds hard, and again, I'm not asking you to put yourself in a horrible situation where you sell off all kinds of stuff and now you don't have money to live. Like, that's not helpful. But I do think that we get a picture of this happening in the church in Acts when it says that as they gathered together, as they encountered the living Christ and understood that he was their greatest treasure ever. As you look at the early church, what you see is that they actually did this. They sold their stuff and they gave it to the kingdom to bless those in need. They trusted Jesus and that he would be with them and that he would take care of them and that he would walk with them. So what would it look like for us today to be people who are people of trust in such a way that we are allowing the Spirit to help clean out our lives of the things we worry about and also clean out our lives of the excess and trust him to take care of us and trust him to use what we have to glorify his name? Here's the deal. Jesus gave up the glory, the splendor, and the comfort of heaven to live in homelessness, suffer greatly, live in poverty, and die naked and humiliated to serve the Father and save us. Jesus gave up everything for us. And so Jesus, who did this for us, is inviting us today to trust him with everything we need and to step out in faith to give up our excess, to help those in need, and glorify our Father in heaven. Let's pray. Father God, we are a people who need you more and more and more. Father God, we are a people who too often, because of the world we live in, we just get caught up in comfort and excess, and we get caught up in the midst of all of that with worrying about whether the stuff we have is the right stuff and good enough stuff. And we get worried about our bank accounts, and we get worried about our pantries, and we get worried about everything in such a way, Lord God, that we get so distracted from you, we can't even give you a little bit of time. Father, our worry about the stuff of this world makes us so self-focused that we neglect to be Jesus-focused. And so, Father, help us. I pray, Father, that you would help us to be Jesus-focused people. Lord God, break us free from any mentality that would say that our treasure is here on earth. And instead, Father, help us to be rooted in our treasure that is in heaven. And our treasure in heaven is Jesus. And Father, help us to love him more. Help us to serve him more. Help us to desire him more and be so captivated by Jesus that we are willing, Lord God, to give up anything you ask us to give up for your son's glory and your honor. And Lord God, help us to be attentive to your Spirit when your Spirit says, give it up. Help us to have the courage to do that. Lord God, help us to know what you want from us. Help us to know, Lord God, our Savior. Help us to love him. Help us to grow in him. Help us to desire him first and foremost, Father, no matter the cost. Father, I pray this in the powerful name of Jesus, who gave up everything for us. Father, thank you for who you are and your love for us today. Amen. I want to invite you to rise in body or in spirit to sing.
darkest bit.